dismayed at the in religious people, among religious people, that they can't tell you who the God of the Bible is. My last message was a short message, but to the point, in an introduction to God. We're going to look at who God is. We studied last week, we used actually four different texts, John 1:1, John 1:14, John 1:18, John 3:16, and Genesis 1:1. Who God is and who God is not. The Bible says that God does not argue His existence, but that He just simply states that I am. I am that I am. Now, God is not many gods. He is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There aren't three gods. Triune God. God is not just a purpose, as so many people try to say. He is not an example. He is not good versus evil. He is God. That's who He is. Now, what is God? The Bible says in eternity past that God was always God before He ever created anything. The oldest verse in the Bible, of course, is John 1:1, not Genesis 1:1. John 1:1 says, "In arche ein ho logos, in beginning, singular, when nothing else was, kept on being the Jehovah." The word word there, it's actually referring to a Hebraism where Hadavar or Hashem, the name or the word, and the word was a Hebraism for Jehovah. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Kai Hologos Ein Proston Theon. Because that word Kai there now, Kai Hologos Ein Theos, the word Kai there means because in this translation. Because either God, the God, was the Word. The God kept on being the Word. That's a predicate nominative. In grammar, which is very important because the Word and God are the same person, number, gender, and case. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that God created angels and spirits, and one-third of them rebelled against God. The spirits became demons, and the angels became fallen angels. Almost had to sneeze, I thought, but maybe I will. Now, the Bible says that God dealt man in different ways, and God progressively has revealed Himself to mankind through the different ways that He has dealt with mankind. You look up here, I've got the church history chart up here, which I'm going to lay down a little bit here for a moment. He created Adam in innocence. Adam took Lucifer's place, by the way. And he was in the second Eden. Evidently, Eden on earth was also the former throne room of Satan or Lucifer. God put man in there. He took his place. And, of course, in the garden, in this Eden, this palace, this throne room, Lucifer slipped in there and deceived the woman. And then the man willingly partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Death was brought upon the human race by that, because of that. God sent them out of the garden. He told them to do good and offer blood sacrifice. And of course, in Genesis, the 6th chapter, we have a tremendous chaos there. Chaos. There's not law and order, but chaos. With angels and wicked mankind. We have a flood brought upon the world, and God's revealing himself to man still. He comes out, and there's three sons of Noah and their wives and his wife and Noah, and there's all together eight people that come through the flood. And then one of his sons does something very wicked. Ham does something very wicked, and the product of that wickedness is the son Canaan, possession. Canaan would go into the land of Canaan, or Canaan called named after him. They were supposed to. Human government was set up at that time, and the responsibility there was scatter, multiply, and if somebody kills somebody, if somebody sheds somebody's blood, they are to die. If an animal kills another animal, whatever happened there, the murderer died. The law of Moses was in existence now, but capital punishment was in existence. You don't kill somebody and walk off. Now let's look a little bit further. Human government was set up. We have Nimrod build a Tower of Babel. We have a one world religious monstrosity formed. God divided the earth into the continents, and also he confused the languages. And then the earth is populated, and the continents starting to go apart together, go apart, and we have continents. We have people scattered out, and one of the reasons for that is because people have been all in one place, understanding their language, then they would have brought an end to the human race again. God calls out one man out of the Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham. And he tells him, go to a land that I show you, and I'm going to make a great and mighty nation out of you. He left, but he got only as far as Haran. And then some of his family died, and then he went on toward the land of Canaan. And he took Lot with him, another believer, but boy, he was messed up. This guy was, you would never know, unless the New Testament told you that Lot was saved, that he was saved at all. He went into Sodom and Gomorrah, and the five cities there, Sodom, Gomorrah, and the other three cities around the Dead Sea. And there was extreme wickedness. If you read the book of Enoch, you will find out how bad the wickedness was in Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a history book. The book of Jasher tells you about it. Wickedness. God called Abraham out. His descendants finally, through Jacob, he went down into Egypt. They were there for over 400 years. They came out a mighty nation. They went back into the land of Canaan. And they were wicked. God corrected them. He transported them. He used the other nations to beat them up, to chastise them. They would repent and God would bless them. They'd get wicked and God would whip them. Same, if your child does something bad when they're young, they ought to be corrected. If they don't understand the fear of right and wrong, they will never do it if you don't teach it at home. I know it's not very popular with the society today. When I was a little kid, if you disbehaved in school, you got a whipping in school, and you got a whipping at home when you got home. And that was it. God called out the nation of Israel. He gave them the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, it taught everything about Jesus Christ. They went on and on sinning. And of course, God sent them a king. David was the man that God wanted to be king. They called for one and he gave them Saul. And that was a big mistake on their part. David was a man after God's heart. The nation was divided, the northern and the southern kingdom. Both of them were called off into captivity and corrected. Finally, they were brought back into the land. They built another temple. And all of this, they were supposed to be looking forward to the Messiah coming, Jesus coming. He's going to come, the Messiah, Jehovah, is going to become flesh. The nation had become very corrupt. The nation of Israel had become very corrupt. They had a king put over them that wasn't even a Jew. He was Esau, a son of Esau, Edomite. And that was Herod the Great. Antony and Cleopatra had appointed him over Judea. He was really the only true king over all of the area of all of them. His sons later on were only over part of it. When Jesus, Messiah, was born in Bethlehem, Herod tried to kill him. He didn't want anyone to threaten his throne. Jesus was taken down into Egypt. Gabriel appeared unto Joseph and told him to go down there, and then he appeared unto him again and told him to take him back, and he went back home, which was Nazareth. Jesus was raised in Nazareth, and when he was 30 years old, he got up and he read in the synagogue there. He said, in this day these scriptures have been filled. I am the Messiah, basically. And they tried to kill him. He called out his church. And by the way, he told that church, he says, the gates of hell will not wrestle you down. You'll be here when I come back for you. Basically, Matthew 16:18, 28:18-20, Ephesians 3:21, etc., etc., all over the place. No other church would take its place. The devil instituted the Catholic Church, and then later on in America and in different parts of the world, we have cults and isms started. Jesus had died on the cross of Calvary. The nation that was supposed to, he was supposed to reign over, murdered him. The early churches were persecuted by the Jews and then by the Roman Empire. And different Roman, there were 10 periods of persecution in the Roman emperors. There are many Christians, between 50 and 100 million Christians died at the hands of Catholicism. Satan would institute false doctrines and false gods and false religions and call it Christendom. In 570 AD, according to Islamic tradition, Muhammad was born. And he was born basically an Antichrist. Before he died, he declared war on all religions. And that declaration is still in effect today. Islam is not a peaceful religion. Neither is Catholicism. Both of them have killed millions. The only thing about it is Islam outran Catholicism. They killed 270 plus million. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million. From up there in my library, you can't see it right now, from all the way up there and then to the floor are history books telling you about all the things that happened, the isms and cults that rose. And Jesus said they would rise. They started having to deal with these even in the apostles' time. Paul dealt with it. They had what we call Gnostics. And people that believed that they were religious atheists. That's what the Sadducees were. They were religious atheists. Now the Bible says, Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus talking to his church, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he said, after you've been scattered out, make disciples, baptizing those disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is not three gods, there is one God, manifested in three different ways. We'll talk about that as we go along here. And he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to guard with their lives. Terrain is the word in Greek. to guard with their lives all of that which I handed down to you. But pay attention. I will be with you until the end of the age, and that is the end of the church age. The church will not go out of existence. The church will not go out of existence. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus, looking at his church, he said, "You're Peter, a little stone. But upon this gigantic foundation stone, I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle it down." He said the gates of hell would not overcome the church. He didn't say it wouldn't try, because it has. One of the most horrible things is Islam and Catholicism killing Christians, but the second most horrible thing is false religion arising among Christendom and confusing people. You got people out here, what do they believe? What do they believe? Look at all the isms out there, all the cults and isms. People, look at all the people that follow Jim Jones. I've got pictures of that. Hundreds of these people died. They committed suicide because the man told them to do it. How many Islamic people have committed suicide because of Muhammad's teaching? How many people have lost their lives because of Muhammad's teaching? Jihad, you know, terrorism. They put dynamite and bombs all around them and then trigger these things and blow them up in crowds. They kill themselves. And they kill everybody around them. That's horrible. That's what we call terrorism. What's happening in our schools today and all throughout our nation is terrorism today. People going and killing people without the guns. People murdering people today in Tulsa, Oklahoma. People were shot. In Texas they were shot. In New York they were shot. And of course they're always killing each other in Chicago and New York. They want to take your guns away from you so you can't protect yourself from this kind of trash. These people need to die to do this. They need to be taken out right on the spot. You know they're killing people. They're guilty of murder. Take them out. I'm glad they did in Texas and Oklahoma. Now, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians says, "But I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, what we call deceit, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Stop him. Take him away. Throw him out. Get him out of there. "For such are false prophets," number 13, "deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no more marvel, for Satan himself transformed into an angel of light." Another place says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." I had somebody write me a letter the other day and told me all of the popes that Peter had done. That is a mythology, people. That didn't happen. That is mythology. That didn't happen. Peter was not a pope. The church was not founded on Peter, and he never established any way. The church is founded upon Jesus Christ, period. Constantine the Great started the Catholic Church. Peter didn't start it. Peter was not a pope. The church was not built upon Peter. You are Peter, but upon this foundation stone, upon me, I will be building the church. And Peter said later on that Jesus was the foundation upon whom all the other stones were built. Not him. Peter was not infallible. Paul had to call him on the carpet several times, because he stood and tolerated the Judaizers. Again, it says here in 1 John 4, 1-6. Beloved, believe not every spirit that tries to pierce with the air of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby we, ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So many religions today don't believe that. God didn't become flesh. Oh, well, that's just a story. No, God became flesh. Kaiho Logar starts again until the Word, the Jehovah, flesh He became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man has seen God any time but the only begotten God. The one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. Joseph Smith didn't see an angel, and the angel give him a new doctrine and tell him that God was dissatisfied with all the churches. No, Jesus said that the churches will not cease to exist. Joseph Smith said that he received these plates in Reformed Egyptian. Why on earth would God send plates written in Reformed Egyptian when the Bible in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Chaldee and the New Testament in Greek? If he had a message, it would have been in Greek. But it's a little too late. The Reformed, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is a bogus religion. The leaders of the Mormon Church today know that Joseph Smith was a fraud. But they say, we have a real good religion, you know. We our way of lives is real good. It's helping people, so let's go ahead and go with it. And they keep on propagating Joseph Smith and his plates. Why in the world did he talk about the lost tribes and the American Indians being the descendants of the lost 10 tribes? American Indians' DNA, my DNA, is Asian. It is not Jewish. It's Asian. It's science. And they say, oh, well, that's the devil trying to deceive you. No, it's the truth. Joseph Smith was a liar. People were trying to figure out who the Indians were. Charles B. Gatewood said, if it be known, if somebody ever really finds out one of these days, he said, I believe that all the Indians are of Asian origin. He was right. Charles B. Gatewood was a lieutenant, Charles B. Gatewood, in the Apache Wars. You can read that book by him, by the way. He wrote the book. The book Geronimo, or the movie Geronimo, was based upon that book and Britton Davis's On the Border with Crook. Hereby you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is of God. Of course, you know, we have Gnosticism. We have Arius of Alexandria coming up out of the Catholic Church later on, teaching this. Every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not come in the flesh, is not of God, and that is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children. You have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he is in the world. They are the world, and therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. False prophet Benjamin Marcus Bogard once said, Dr. Benjamin Marcus Bogard said, a lie can get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. And boy, just look on television and on the radio if you don't believe that. I'm very thankful that our little Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church, these words are going out all over the world. I watched Dr. Gene Scott one time on television here in Fish Lake Valley 40 years ago, and I said, I wish the truth could go out like that, and now it is. This message will be out tonight. They are the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them and obeys them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. And he that is not of God hears us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. These are some scriptures pertaining to all of this. In the first 1,000 years after God, the Lord founded His church, there was a lot of controversy and a lot of death over religion. There have been more wars fought over religion than anything else in the world. There have more people died over religion than any other thing in the world. Jeremiah said, "My heart is broken because of the false prophets." Just because it is the majority which rules, that doesn't mean that something is right. A true prophet is dedicated to decency, and the false prophets are not aware of what the tomorrow holds at all. True prophets will have an effective ministry. A true prophet will have a ministry that is filled with life, not killing people. Jeremiah learned how to tell a false prophet from a prophet of God. And we need to learn these same things. God said, "These false prophets I have not sent, but they've gone out and on their own." False prophets are not going to hide anything from me, God said. Lying is a deadly poison when it comes to religion, because it is so deadly. The world, you can be killed by a bullet, you can be killed by disease, you can be killed by heart attack, you can be killed by all these things. But worry about him that can kill your soul. And those are the false prophets. They kill your soul. Your soul is double dead because you're hooked up in this stuff and you can't get out of it. Joseph Smith's whole life, and if you look all the way back to Muhammad, if you read which a book that I have here, The Life of Muhammad, the Apostle of God or the Messenger of God by Ibn Ishaq, if you read this book like I have, I mean it's all marked up, if you read that book you're going to see the life of an absolute fiend. Fiend. An absolute God-hater. I had an Islamic person write me a letter the other day, and they told me that I was preaching the gospel of a God that couldn't put three words together, that He loves the people He created. That I'm preaching a bogus God. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through Him might have life." The Bible said God is love. The Mormons don't read the Bible either in all reality. They play with it. But the Islam won't read the Bible. If they read the Bible, they would realize that God of the Bible is much superior to their Allah. Because the God of the Bible gave Himself for you that you might have eternal life. You don't have to do anything to get it. He did it for you. Nor does He call upon you to kill yourself or to kill anybody else. False religions persecute people. True religions do not. Mary Baker Eddy always taught that there was no such thing as death. Yet, every Christian scientist, so-called, they're not Christian, they're not scientists either, have all died from her period of time, including her. I had a woman one time And I have a book that she wrote, someplace, a little pamphlet. And she declared that if you would allow her to baptize you, that you would never die. That death was to a child of God was not going to exist. That if you really believed in God and you let her baptize you, they baptized into eternal life right then. Now, she was about 75, 78 years old at that time. And my grandmother said she wanted me to talk to her. And I said, Grandma, I'm not interested in talking to this woman. I said, I can't do her any good at all. I said, she has already set in her mind. I said, I can't bring this to her. But she really believes what she believes. And I think you need to hear her. Well, my grandmother invited me over to dinner by myself. And there she was, this woman. Well, I presented the Word of God to her, telling that all of sin, you know, all going to die. Though the wages of sin is death, the free gift of life is eternal life, and it's not talking about eternal life in this body. Now, this body's got to be changed. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I talked all these things to her, and about 2 weeks later, she dropped over dead. My grandmother said, you destroyed her faith. I said, Grandma, her faith was based upon nothing. Her faith was based upon lies. But she believed it. I said, that don't mean anything. What you believe don't mean anything. What the Bible teaches means everything. The God of the Bible does not teach you that. The true prophets of God talk about sin. They talk about a judgment for sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of life is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death is the product of sin. We die because we sin. The infection of sin is in our blood from Adam, and there's no way we can get out of dying. We're going to die. Mary Baker Eddy taught there was no such thing as sin. Muhammad taught a whole different set of rules from what the Bible teaches. Oh, we believe just like the Jews. No, they don't. Their Sabbath, you know, they have a Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday evening, and all of this baloney. But they don't believe in the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says, God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to die for Jesus. He died for you. You don't have to die for Jesus to go to heaven. Islam, to go to heaven directly, the only way you're going to get out of hell is to die killing somebody while you kill yourself or etc. True prophets of God talk about a reality of hell and a reality of heaven. A reality of hell and a reality of heaven. And hell is a place of torments forever. That's over here, the eternal hell fire. Joseph Smith denied hell. But he also said that if you weren't a good Mormon, you wouldn't get to go into the highest heaven. All of the Christians would be down in some other heaven, but you get to go to the highest heaven. But there's no place as hell. Mary Baker Eddy denies hell. Jehovah's Witnesses denies hell. Mormonism basically denies hell. Joseph Smith said he received a revelation from God through the angel Moroni. He purported the Book of Mormon to be the other witness, and then the Doctrines and Covenants and Pearl of Great Price, and I can put them right here because they're sitting right over there. But that is not true. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible was completed within the first 100 years before 100 AD. from 33 to 100 A.D., the Bible was written. Joseph Smith was a con man. Now the leaders in the Mormon church will tell you that, but they still propagate these plays where he found all these Mormon plates, and they know that's untrue. They know that he basically manhandled his people, the men he sent out on mission trips, and then in the meanwhile, the wives were left at home. He would marry them and have sex with them, consummate the marriage. He had a whole bunch of women, a whole bunch of wives. And he did all this because he was promiscuous. But it was a revelation from God. The Bible in the Old Testament taught that man and woman become one flesh. And God really believed this, that had one wife. I do believe. But many... Jacob had four wives. Abraham had three. We can't prove that God completely banned that, but the churches said, Paul to the churches, that a bishop was supposed to be a man of one wife, not three or four. Many of the young in the church, men had more than one wife, the converted Jews. Jews had more than one wife in many times. But Joseph Smith's revelation from God said that every Mormon man was supposed to have all the wives he could get because they're going to populate new universes in the afterlife. That's not from God. Now, finally, polygamy was banned by the United States Supreme Court. And then Brigham Young said, well, God had another revelation, but he had 75 wives. They have these bee houses, they say, over there in Utah, but there's polygamous communities still all over. In Utah, Nevada, Arizona, all of these different areas, even in some places in Wyoming, Montana. There are these places where they had polygamous communities. It was founded on this perversion of marriage. And that's not all. You know, a Muslim man can have four legal wives that are Muslim wives and all the concubines that he can afford. And they come over here in this country, and they bring these wives. Only one of them they can say is my wife, but all the other ones are on welfare and on food stamps and Medicare. And the same thing is going on in Utah and all these polygamists. They say the red flag among these, I'm talking some of the law enforcement over there, is if a man has got over 10 women living on his estate. That's a real red flag. They go in there and start investigating. They'll have a mobile home for each woman and all these kids out there, and he's going and he's collecting all this money. That's like the gangsters come up from El Salvador into Bakersfield and Los Angeles area, and they have a whole bunch of concubines, and all these concubines are on welfare, and they're taking their money because they get food stamps and they get medical treatment anyway. Upside down world. That's rough on the economy, people. Joseph Smith prophesied the second coming of Jesus Christ would be in 1890. There were a lot of religions back at this period of time that prophesied the second coming and the end of the world. There was one Baptist minister that they saw, the Millennial Donis, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and all of them go back to this. Mary Baker Eddy, all of these go back to this period of time. Ellen White, the Seventh-day Adventist, all about the second coming, the Antichrist, and all of this, the Sabbath, whatever. The Sabbath doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. Baptism doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. The Lord's Supper doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. And that's as far as we're going to go in this message tonight. An introduction to God, an introduction to the real God of the Bible. We're looking at the real God of the Bible, not the God of Joseph Smith or Muhammad or Charles Taze Russell, etc. And we're going to look at their different teachings, what they teach about God. Our Father, we send this message out. I pray that it's clear enough that where people can understand who you are, that you are a sacrificial God, that you've sacrificed your Son. You said in your word, so for God so loved the world. So you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you. Father, please use your word. Please, I pray that you might drag some of these people out of these cults and isms and false religions and to the truth and to salvation, eternal life through your Son. Please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.